Blog Talk Radio.
It's such a struggle trying to climb the ladder of success.
Living in a world where every day my strength is put to the test.
But I face that test with courage, and I just won't be discouraged. I'm determined, you see, to reach my
possibility.
Now I've run across so many things that could block me. But I made up my mind. And there's just no limit to all the great things I can do. I see my possibility. Just woke up and found it here in me. Nothing but green lights ahead of me. I'm looking for the down the track. Straight ahead, I'm on the back of my mind. I hold a vision of my destiny. And it keeps me up. Because I know what's inside me. It's so much more than I can see. It's so much that I can become. That's why I'm reaching for the sun.
I see my possibility. Just woke up and found him here in me. Nothing but green lights ahead of me.
I'm looking for the dollar track. Straight ahead, I want the back.
So when the spirit of truth goes into another dimension and discovers something, it has discovered the truth. See, the truth is universal. Let's just put it. The truth is universal. The truth is not one thing. The truth is not one thing. The truth is it's the truth, right? The truth is reality. What is reality? Reality is everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Everything that Allah has created. And when Allah said kun fayakun, when Allah says be and it is, that everything exists right now. And everything that Allah created is truth, is haq, is real. But we're not in touch with everything that is true and real. And it's a very rich discussion related to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constructed us in such a way that we will not be confronted with the truth at all points and times and moments. It would be just an analogy. It would be like if we had no ozone layer, you know, no ozone layer to protect us from the rays of the sun. We immediately, right now, and as it stands, it's like, yeah, man, the sun is a beautiful thing. Oh, man, the sun is out today, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, it wouldn't be so good if the ozone layer was not there. It's like, no, we're done. We're cooked, literally. So it is also with truth. You know, we can't see the truth, all of it, right away. It's like, no, you're done. No. See, you can even relate that to the idea of Moses and say, I want to see you. God said, no, you can't see me. You couldn't even stand to see me. You don't have a mechanism capable of seeing me or bearing the force of such a perception. But look at the mountain. If it remains, then we'll talk. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So So the point is that that spirit of truth, the truth is just there. It's like, so that bigger dimension, that other dimension of reality, just call it truth. Just call it truth. The truth of what? The truth of anything that you're looking for. It's out there. It's out there. But everybody doesn't see every truth. Why? Because everybody's not interested in every truth. All of us are interested in particular aspects of truth. And it's the aspect that relates to us. I'm interested in the aspect of truth that I'm interested in. You can read that egoistically if you want to. You got your own issues. The point is that to each is a goal to which he is turning, so strive is in a race towards all that is good. That Quranic statement, 2:148, is a statement that is saying, I created all of you to have certain interests. All of you have a proclivity, an inclination, an interest in some things that other people don't have interest in. Why? Let's go back to the Bible. The Bible said, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the seeing be? Okay, so the point is, Allah said, I didn't make you all to be just one thing. I made you all to be something that's useful to all of you. And there is a path and a pattern that you go through, you human beings go through, to discover your purpose in my creation, Allah. Your purpose in my creation, and so your goal is fastabiqul khairat. You are supposed to go after all that is good and excellent and useful. Khairukum man yanfa an-nas, the best among you is the one who's most useful to society. And how are you going to become useful to society? You have to cause your properties, your skill sets, your abilities, your potentials to grow. And then you bring them back as sadaqah in service to the plan of God for humanity. That's what's supposed to happen. All right. So when the spirit of truth goes into another dimension and discovers something, it has discovered the truth. But at that point of discovery, the mind does not have a category of thought. This I'm explaining my understanding of what the imam is saying, giving a little more detail. So the mind is unable to understand what the spirit had discovered at a point, because the mind has no category of thought for whatever it was discovered. Inarticulate feeling, right? Inarticulate feelings, like, I have no words for it. I have no words for it. Who has no words for it? The mind. But the spirit knows what it has discovered. The mind is just not ready to understand it. That's Jesus. That's that picture. It said, I have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. Who is that? That's the spirit talking to the mind. That's the spirit talking to the mind. It said, I got a lot to tell. And that's what we feel. Sometimes, man, ooh, it's right there. Well, that's inarticulate feeling. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So you just have to be a layman, right? And you have to lay with it, inshallah, and it'll dawn by the grace of Allah. So, وَلَا يُحِيطُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. And they encompass nothing of Allah's knowledge except what He pleases. So Allah said, be patient. Be there. Believe. Be in a state of consciousness. Be in a humble state. Be desirous of knowing the truth, and I will, inshallah, I will cause you to know. وَتَقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. So it's like, be conscious of God, or be conscious in the way that Allah wants you to be conscious, and Allah is always teaching you. All right, so let's move on. So it says, but at that point of discovery, the mind has no category of thought for what the spirit has discovered. However, when the spirit introduces it to the mind, this is what the imam said. He said, my mind learns something about the new dimension that my spirit has gone into. My mind, my rational curiosity, eventually with God's help, lets me know more about that world that my spirit has gone into. And so this is what we're extending on. It says that, however, when the spirit introduces it to the mind, then the mind gives it a name. The mind gives it a name. All right? So we're now we're following, and we'll conclude the broadcast with these ideas, inshallah. Khalaqa sawwa qaddara hada, Surah Al-A'la, chapter 87. This process follows that form. Khalaqa sawwa qaddara hada. Okay. So the imam talked about my spirit, my natural life goes into another dimension of reality, a bigger dimension. It goes there first and dwells there for long enough until my mind learns something about that new dimension. All right, so this is step one. When the mind learns about it, how do you know if the mind learns about it? It can name it. It can name it. I have a name for it. I have a name for it. So now you're talking about idea. So we did get to say something about idea at this moment. It's like that. Now you have an idea. You've ever heard the phrase that you have no idea of this, that, or the other. You have no idea. It happens all the time. There are many things that the mind has no idea for. But there are things that the spirit comes to that the mind has no idea of. But in time, the spirit will educate the mind into what it is. And when that happens, the mind gives it a name. The mind has a category of thought for it. Now it's starting to come into the three-dimensional world. From that higher dimension, from that other dimension, now it's coming into this dimension. Why? Because you have language for it. You have an idea of it. That's how it gets from the abstract composite, no weight in your hand dimension to the place where it can be dealt with in concrete ways in three-dimensional space. So that, and it starts with words. Literally, that implement, that tool called word, that's where it starts. The word becomes the container for the idea, which was itself abstract. That's khalaqa. So it gets a name, khalaqa, and then that name becomes a body. That name becomes a body, right? a rational place within the system. That it's given a place within the system, a category of thought, right? That's the sawwa. Khalaqa is the form itself, which is literally the word that is the body of the thing. Now, The value of that word and the value of that thing and the purpose and the function of that thing is when it's put into the proper context. So whatever, there are physics discoveries and those things that are identified by virtue of the intuition that educates the mind, and then the mind puts a label on it, and then the reality of it is that when you understand it, you understand its place among all other knowledge related to it. We talked about the Oscars, not the Oscars, we talked about the Nobel Prize, right? The Nobel Prize is given to people who name something, I'll stay in the context of what we're talking about, the people who name something and show it to the world of people who are familiar with that domain, and they say, treat it like a puzzle piece, I'm saying to you. Treat it like a puzzle piece and say, here, I have discovered this puzzle piece, and this puzzle piece fits right here. And then people look at it, see how it fits, say, that's right, he discovered another piece. All right, give him the Nobel Prize. In what? Economics. Or what about this one? In chemistry. What about this one? In governance, whatever. So, okay, so that's how it is. So you have given it its place within the system. The system being whatever domain of knowledge you're talking about, doesn't matter. So that's the sawa. That's the sawa. It happens for everything that grows among us as human beings. Khalaqa, language, words for it. Sawa,
90
seconds. Where it fits within the system of what already exists, right? So you give it a category of thought, so you put it in its place, etc. So you have a place, a category of thought for what has been discovered. And that's what makes it active. Now, qaddara, that's qaddara. That's what makes it active. Once you take that inarticulate feeling, you find the word slash idea, for it, then you have
60 seconds.
That is the form chalaka. Then the sawa, you have the place within the system, and the way that you show that, or the way that you benefit from it being properly placed within the system, is that the power comes out of it. As the power comes, just look at everything, whatever we have, automobiles, doesn't matter, airplanes, right? Airplane, right? Okay, we want to fly, blah, blah, blah. Okay, then now you got to go through all the changes until you get the right knowledge, the right language for what it is that you're talking about, understand where that language fits within the system of things that fly, okay? Then that's the sawa. So now you found the sawa for now, qadara. If you got it in the right place, then it's going to release the power of that thing that it has, that's in it by nature. There's power in it by nature, but you cannot get to the qadara until you have the khalaqa and sawa. Until you have the right form, until you have the right place within the system, you will not be able to get the beneficial power from whatever it is that you are talking about. But given that you do, then that's what happens, right? The qadara, right? Now, add to that, where Allah says, "Sakhara lakum ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard," I have created to render service to you everything that's in the skies and the earth. That's one. So everything is here for use: wind, water, sun, electricity, fossil fuels, mathematics, or whatever. This is yours, God said. This is yours, but you have to learn how to use it. You have to grow into the knowledge of these things, and they don't have any resistance once you name them. Huh? Sounds like the angels, doesn't it? Because that's what it is. It's like when Adam tells them their names. And when Adam names them, then they bow. Not because he is him, but because Allah said, whoever does this, you do that. And they obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, how does it happen for human beings? Khalaqa, identify the form, which includes, again, language, not going to go all the way back over it. So khalaqa, the yasawa, understand where it fits within the system, all right? There's a lot of language about grammar in that very situation, because everything that you discover, there's a grammar for it, meaning that certain things belong in certain places in order for you to get certain benefits from them, systemically speaking. If you have it misplaced, you're not going to get the power out of it. But given that you put it in the right place, then you get the qadara. Qadara is you have the power that comes out of the potential in you and in everything else that you are addressing, right? And then khalaqa, fasawa, wa qadara, fahada. Then you will also, the highest use and the highest benefit of whatever you achieve and accomplish and create and produce by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has not reached its main objective until you use it to serve the will of Allah in your life and time. That's what it's for. Hada. All that is that, okay, now put what you have discovered and the power that is coming forth from it, apply it, make it work in accordance with the guidance of Allah, Allah's will and intention for humanity. When you do that, then you have great, great, great space. So there's a lot more that we, inshallah, we'll talk to it later. I'm going to leave that right now. All right, so thank you so much for your time and attention. Again, happy Father's Day to those fathers amongst us, and inshallah, all will be well. But basically, that's going to be it for today.
No limit to all the great things I can do. I see my
changing my destiny. And it keeps me up striving, because I know what's inside me. It's so much more than I can see. It's so much that I can become. That's why I'm reaching for the sun. I see my possibility. Just woke up and found him here in me. Nothing but green lights ahead of me. I'm looking for the down the track. Get ahead, I won't go back.
I see my possibility.
I see them. Nothing, nothing but green lights. But I'm looking for the down the track.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. The brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thank you for joining us this morning for Quran Salah Institute. And this morning we're going to be continuing on the subject of intuition in our new and shorter format. So we're only going to be here it's the bottom of the hour. Is that what you call it? So we had been 10:30 to 12:30 Pacific time. It's only going to be 10:30 to 11:30 Pacific time. And we are redeploying our energy efforts, research, and building content for the newly launched new website, theclearunderstanding.institute. I've been getting great feedback from those of you who have been a part of it, who have decided to subscribe. And when we back off of this mic, we go back into the lab to produce more. We thank Allah. This is no boast, but alhamdulillah, this is what we do. This is what we live for. I can say this is what I live for, inshallah. So we look forward to doing that. Okay, but not taking more time from the time that we do have here. You have any comments that you would like to bring before we get started? Like most all the blog talk broadcasts now will actually be willing and open and desirous of getting your feedback and responding to your questions and comments and the like in the time that we do have. So you can do that. And momentarily, though it's not my general way, on Facebook now, Abu Hassan, but Calvin Aziz, OG from the West Side, that moved to the other side. He went over to the other side. But Calvin, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum. Afni Abdul Haq was always present, and thank you so much for your constant sharing, my dear brother. We take advantage of these rare moments to speak to you all directly. And Fanny Fitzpatrick, alhamdulillah, says Fahima is watching. Okay, so it's Fahima. And that's someone that has a name that's very close to my heart. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All right, anybody on Blog Talk? I'll see you all. I can't go down the list of all you all. But alhamdulillah, the regulars, the full-time rain, sleet, snow, or hail folks, alhamdulillah, blog talk. If you got a comment, push one on your phone and come on through if you like to do that. And this is always a, we auction that time off. So that's going once. And let me make sure, let me reload the studio, make sure I'm not missing someone. Computers sometimes have a mind of their own. All right, good. All right, so we're satisfied to go on with the content that we bring this morning. Okay, so what we are going to do is we're going to revisit some of what we just played. We played the last 15 minutes of what was obviously our Father's Day presentation, which was the last time we were together. We weren't together on the 4th of July. So we usually go back to the previous. And so the most recent Quran Salat Institute broadcast was the Father's Day broadcast. And we extended ourselves into the comment from Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, which I'm going to begin this morning reading as well, because repetition is the mother of learning, and so it can't be repeated too much. We want you to own the information. So we cite from Imam Muhammad in an address that he gave under the title Greater Community. We broadcast in our blog talk September 7, 2020. We took this quote from that lecture. He said, "The good news is this ain't spooky. Just my own natural life, it goes into another reality. The natural life in me, it goes into another dimension of reality. It goes in there with my spirit first, and after my spirit dwells in there long enough, my mind learns something about that new dimension that my spirit has gone into. My mind, my rational curiosity, eventually, with God's help, lets me know more about that world that my spirit has gone into, a bigger dimension of space in reality. Yes, I have already experienced that. Thank God." Let me see. One little connection I need to make. Okay, so that's the quote from the Imam Rahimahullah Alayhi. Now, I'm going to share with you a little more bold and underlined ideas relevant to this. And I encourage you to, if you're taking notes, and I always encourage you to do that, you should have a little composition books. I have a stack for these composition books. If you don't already do this, you should be doing it. I've been doing this since like 75. You know, the little composition books where they're bound, and so they're easy to hold on to as opposed to loose leaf pages or those kind of tablets that they give you if you go into a seminar workshop. Generally, sometimes they'll just put pen, but those pages tear out and you often lose that material. But to have a composition book, and you will be surprised how powerful a review of those notes can be. So, in any case, I recommend that you take notes on this particular. Make a list of Khalaqa, spell it the way that helps you to remember it. This is from Surah 87, the first three verses. So Khalaqa, so have that one word. Sawa, second word. Qaddara, third word. Hada, Now, what we're going to do, inshallah, is give you a working abstraction of these words. Those of you who are subscribed to a Clear Understanding Institute, then you know that the piece that we put up right now, the first portion of the first component of the masterclass for the Future Roots Leadership Institute, you know that we point out in detail what, where that comes from and what it actually is and how it relates to literally everything. But in the case of the Institute component that's up now, we're going through problem, intuition, idea, ideology, institution, and culture. And it's going to take some months, actually, to get through it because we're doing this with each one of the components. خَلَقَ سَوَى قَدْرَ هَذَا for problem. خَلَقَ سَوَى قَدْرَ هَذَا for intuition. That's what's coming up. So you're kind of getting an early shot as the intuition aspect is coming up. Then same way with idea. خَلَقَ سَوَى قَدْرَ هَذَا for idea. خَلَقَ سَوَى قَدْرَ هَذَا for ideology. خَلَقَ سَوَى قَدْرَ هَذَا for institution. خَلَقَ سَوَى قَدْرَ هَذَا for culture or ummah. And this is so powerful. And this is just an idea, a prescription, a formula that Imam Muhammad rahimahullah alayhi passed on to us. And when you understand it and put it to work, it's like whatever it is that you don't understand, it all, of course, requires the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they encompass nothing of his knowledge except what he pleases. But it's like when you know that you can apply this to anything at any time that you're dealing with and you really want to know the truth about it, take it through these steps. Take it through these. If it's a struggle, mashallah, yeah, it's a struggle. That's how it is with finding what you don't have and learning what you don't know and doing what you've never done. There's always a learning curve. There's always this challenge. So let's move on. So we're starting from the idea that the Imam is speaking about his natural life as in the first order as a spirit, right? So it says the natural life in me, it goes into another dimension of reality. It goes in there with my spirit, right? All right. So we relate that to the spirit of truth, the desire to know the truth. And that's about anything that we're talking about. You want to know the truth about your husband, the truth about your wife. I'm not talking about cheaters, the truth about your husband, the truth about your wife. I'm talking about them as a creation of Allah, about your children as a creation of Allah. When you think about the truth about business, the truth about governance, the truth about education, the truth about culture, the truth about, quote, religion, all of that. It's like, you want to know the truth about whatever it is you talk. You want to know the truth, right? And so these are the investigative tools that you need in order to, I would call it, to the extent that we can use that term, objectively arrive at the quote-unquote reality of whatever it is that you have in your scope or in your focus, right? So whatever that is, the spirit of truth, the idea is to, I want to know the reality, all right? So once you have that attitude, then that is the spirit of truth. That is the spirit of truth. And for our purposes, I'm labeling that sacred intuition, sacred intuition. When I say sacred intuition, I mean it's like you want that part of you that can know beyond your mind, that it's beyond your, you hear people use terms like educated guess. This is an educated guess, right? The educated guess meaning, yeah, it's a guess. I'm not sure. But I have reason to believe that this is plausible, that I should consider it as being this or as being that. So sort of like you formulated some kind of hypothesis about it. What if it's the case that says, okay, well, let's go see. So that's you're on a hunt for the truth, but all you have is like that bloodhound, you know, it's like it's sniffing with that strong nose. It's sniffing around trying to get a track that it can follow that may lead it to what it's actually looking for. You have some idea about it. You have, as we've read from Muhammad Iqbal, it's an inarticulate feeling. So all of this spirit of truth is like that. Like it's that inarticulate feeling. It brings us into that, you know, I feel it, but I don't quite know. I can't quite explain it. And so I call this sacred intuition also, it's searching with taqwa. Searching with taqwa, where Allah tells us, وَتَقُوا wa وَيُعَلِمُكُمُ اللَّهِ, and be regardful of Allah, because Allah is always teaching you. Allah is always teaching, but you have to be listening. He said, you know, they call on me for my assistance, right? He said, tell them, they asked me concerning my presence, if you will. He said, tell them I'm always near and listening. Let them also with the will listen to my call, right? So Allah is always teaching us, but are we always listening? But if we're listening, we're giving due regard to what it is that we're searching for, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the answer is there for us. But you have to be in that state. You have to be in that condition that I'm identifying as a state of sacred intuition. You are putting it to work. You don't know. You have a feeling for it. You have an idea, but you don't quite know. Okay, well, then that spirit leads you, as the Imam spoke of, leads you into another dimension. And so when that spirit of truth, when it goes into another dimension, it doesn't matter, it's away from three-dimensional space wherever it is that we actually are, then it discovers something. That is, this intuition says, aha, here's something, this could be it, right? So it discovers something. And if it's by virtue of this sacred intuition, if it's by virtue of this searching with taqwa, then what that spirit comes in touch with is the truth. However, at that point of discovery, the mind, so the spirit is beyond the brain, mind, etc. So it has something, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, he revealed the Quran upon his heart, right? And Abraham alayhi salatu wasalam, when he asked Allah, how will the resurrection be? And the guy said, what is it? You don't believe? Yes, I believe, but my heart is not at rest with it. And the Quran's, pardon me, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam says, truth is what makes the heart feel tranquil, and falsehood is what wavers in the heart, even though you've been given reasoning fatwa. You've been given fatwa in your favor. So the heart has a different way of registering than the mind does. So the heart, in this case of the a person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and before the person spoke, the Prophet said to him, "You have come to ask about righteousness, right? You have come to ask about righteousness." And the person affirmed, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, consult your heart. That just that experience right there is very rich, because there were no words communicated between him and the person when the Prophet registered for the person and to the person, I already know what you're coming to ask about. So there's this telepathic, if you will, communication between he and that person. Okay, so the point is the spirit reaches something before our mind has the wherewithal to be able to understand it. In fact, it is called a category of thought. That is, the spirit in search of truth will come in touch by the grace of Allah, by the guidance of Allah, by the help of Allah, by the permission of Allah, will come in touch with something for which they themselves have no words inarticulate, the searcher, where they themselves have no words inarticulate feeling. So in common language, well, I say common language, let's just call it in intellectual language, they have no category of thought. That's an important, put that in quotes, hold on to it, understand it. Everything that you know falls into some category of thought. Everything that you know falls into some category of thought, right? It's like whatever, organizing a pantry or organizing a pharmacy or what have you. Everything, there's something on every shelf, and everything is supposed to be in the place where it is a member of that particular class. Okay, so whatever, anything that you know, whatever, anything that you have a word for, it belongs to a category of thought. And it immediately came into that category of thought when it got its name. And so now that takes us towards the first of those steps when we talk about khalaqa. So when the spirit introduces it to the mind, that is, when the spirit introduces it to the mind, first, the mind doesn't have a category of thought for it, but it's being introduced. The mind is being introduced to that intuition, all right? The spirit is introducing the mind to what the spirit finds. And then when the mind, as the Imam says, my mind, my rational curiosity, eventually, with God's help, lets me know more about that world. He's talking about that world that the spirit has gone into. All right, well, so when it comes from this nebulous, I'm going to call it, this nebulous, cloudy, unformed state where I know it's, I have a feel for it, but I can't, I don't know what to call it. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to express it. So you sit with it, the mind, and then, oh, this is what it's called. I've listened to some other scholars and professors, whatever, and they're using terms like exaptation, right? And once you understand, because I know these kinds of words from them, all the words literally, they come from okay, I see something, okay, but there's no word for it in the vocabulary that we speak in right now. Okay, well, what is it? Okay, it does this, does that, does this, does that, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so it's like this, like that, like this, like that. Okay, so what kind of word can we either construct or that we can find? You see words like paradigm, words like cosmos, and like these are words, when these words came into the English vocabulary, they came by the formation of the people who got the intuitions about them first. And when the quote unquote definition of them fit to the satisfaction of the prime audience, the people who need to understand, like quantum physics, right? Like most people in the world don't understand quantum physics, but the right people in the world did and do understand quantum physics, and that in consequence of that, we get the benefit of what quantum physics gives. But most people in the world don't understand it. So the people that need to understand these critical things, people of understanding first, قوم العاقل, those the people of intellect, right? All right, let's move away. So the idea is that, so the spirit introduces it to the mind, then the mind sits with it, and then the mind gives it a name, right? Now, that's khalaqa. So in the course of what we've said, then if you've made that list, khalaqa, then khalaqa, the name becomes the rational body for the intuition. So there was an intuition. Who received it? The spirit received it. That's that intuitive thing, which we all have. We have this intuitive capacity. And it is that intuition which was put on the mission by the problem, in most cases, the problem was what we didn't understand. Whatever it is we didn't understand, whatever need that we had that needed to be met that was unmet, well, automatically, the first one that moves out to try to solve that or get that need met is intuition. Intuition goes, okay, what can we do? What can we do? Where to get his mission statement from? Where to get his marching orders? Where did intuition get his marching orders from? The intuition got his marching orders from the problem. Got his marching orders from, okay, we got to fix this. This is not comfortable. My master is not comfortable. Myself is not comfortable. Yes, my in the kalbi, right? And so the first one out, phew, intuition. All right? Then into it, oh, I got something. And then mind says, let me look at that. You know, and so intuition or the spirit shows it to the mind. I'm like, let me see. Okay, well, I got to think about that for a while. Oh, okay. It's like, now that's where the issue of idea comes up. So once you put a name to it, you've actually come into idea. Now, these things that we're slowing down in our expression of it, these things, they happen faster than it takes me to clap my hands. Because that's how fast does thought travel? You know, as we talk about thought travel, it gets nano, milliseconds. It's like in no time, if you will. But the point is, let's just understand the category. Chalukah. So chalukah, once that intuition is given a name, then that becomes the rational body for whatever that was from whatever dimension. Okay, now it has a name, right? Chalukah. So that's the first step, chalukah. Now it has a form, and we're saying that form is a rational body for something that had no body. It was abstract. Now, the first step for it to become concrete was giving it a name. Because once you give it a name, then Sawa comes right after that. Sawa, what is Sawa? A place within the system, right? It belongs to a particular category of thought. It has a name. You named it. Why did you name it? You named it because of the attributes that it had, right? That were abstracted in the thought process. Okay, and this, when you're thinking about it, you're thinking about its qualities, its dimensions, its attributes, blah, 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 blah. Then you call it, boom, what you call it, right? So now it's a name. Okay, well, if it's named this and it has these qualities and attributes, then it belongs over here with other things that have similar qualities, attributes, et cetera, categorically speaking. So therefore, it belongs to that category of thought. That's its place within the system. That's the sawa. Right? So a student, okay, intuition, the mind sits with it, the mind names it, giving it thereby a rational body, and every body has a position. Every body, there's no body without a position. I'm not talking about a Fortune 500 company. I'm talking about if it exists as a body, it's sitting somewhere. It's sitting somewhere. If it exists, it is somewhere. So automatically, once it has substance, once it has meaning, and once it belongs to a category, once it has been named, it automatically has a place, right? That's Selwa. Let's move from that. So now you have the Chalukah, the name, which is the rational body, and the rational body gives it its Selwa, its category of thought, therefore its place within the system. It's the same thing. Chalukah is the name, which is the rational body. Sawa is the category of thought, which is the place within the system. Okay, so it has been named. It's been given a place within the system. Now, what happens thirdly? Qaddara. Because given that you have named it, and everything that we're saying, it's operating upon, you got it right. Right, and if you're guided by Allah, and if it's by Allah's permission, mashallah, then you got it right. And what happens after that is the one who has gone that far with that intuition that comes from that dimension that was beyond the mind, then it came to the mind, and then the mind categorized it. Now the one who possesses that new knowledge has new power. They have new power, right? We see that precisely in the life of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran, where Allah says of Adam before the rest of the drama took place, Allama Adam al-asma'a kullaha. And Allah taught Adam the knowledge of the nature of all things. And that's the Quran abstractly telling us that inside of you is the knowledge of the nature of all things. You are born with it. You are born with the knowledge of the nature of all things in your very nature. But they are in you latent, in us, latent. They are unexpressed. They are unrealized. They are unrecognized. We are unconscious of them. They are in our unconscious makeup. They are below consciousness, but they are there nonetheless. And so the process that we're speaking of between that knowledge that is quote-unquote out there in the cosmos, of which you and I are a part, and our becoming conscious of what is now or what had before been unconscious in our makeup. And so this rising up to consciousness, realizing in the mind these things that are latent, which get stimulated and get connected with the macrocosm and the microcosm and the mind being in between the two, that's when that aha moment comes, right? So when Allah says in the verse section that we're pointing to, where it says, tell them their names, Adam, speaking of the angels, God told the angels, he said, tell me the names if you know. He said, no, we don't know. All we know is what you have taught us, right? And then God says, tell them their names, right? And then Adam named them, and then what happened? They bore witness, and Allah says, didn't I tell you I know what you don't know? And they bowed down to Adam, not to Iblis, another part of the story. But the point is that the way you get the submission of and the service of angels, which are forces in the creation, is by telling them their names. You have to name them. But then once you name them, or rather, and once you name them, the power is yours, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Allah says, Sakhara lakum ma fi samawati wa ma fil ard. I have made everything in creation with the nature. I have created everything in creation with the nature to render service to you. Now, you have to reach the state where you have earned that right. And the right comes through your naming them with the names that I taught you and that I named them. If you name them correctly, then they are at your service, right? So if, you know, you have the right name, you have the right idea, and you put everything in its proper place within the system, then that phrase that comes to us and says nothing is more powerful than an idea whose time has come. So it's when you have done the khalaqa correct, the sawa correct, then qaddara is automatically there for you. The service is yours. What service? Whatever. I was just looking at Richard Branson, the Virgin Galactica. He's out in space right now, sending back Instagram messages from outer space. You know, he's a businessman, right? Why? And I believe it's in also Surah Al-Rahman where it says, go out, traverse the bounds of the heavens and earth, but you can't do so without sultan. You can't do that without great authority. It's not anything that Allah holds back from us. It's just because he's a white man. No, it's like whoever names the angels involved with it does so correctly, etc., and they do that. All the other earthly issues, they are what they are, mashallah. They have their place, and quote unquote, to the extent that that's a problem, put your intuition to work, find the right name for it, put it in the right category, get the power that you need, and take it out, the problem. Okay? You guys, see, that makes me think about how some people, you know, they're just so busy being able to etch and sketch and define and elaborate on the dimensions of the problem, and you're not focused on solving the problem. So it might be that you're worshiping the problem and you don't know it. You don't call it that. but you're worshiping the problem rather than solving it, especially as it relates to the discomfort that it gives you, right? Well, you make yourself comfortable by removing what it does to you, right? You know, solve it for yourself first. And then maybe your solution, experimentally speaking, I solved it for myself, isn't it? This is what I'm offering to you as a solution. This is the way I got over that thing right there, and look what I got. I ain't tripping on this right now. I got this right here, and I have this to look forward to in the future. So you can take it, leave it. It's up to you. All right? How about that? So let's move on. Khalaqa, sawa, qadara. So you get the qadara. If you do the first two correctly, then you get the third, the qadara, the power, right? And so that truth, now remember, it began with a search by sacred intuition for the reality of what would remove the discomfort that started the mission, right? So that truth that's discovered by that spirit and given a rational body and its proper place within the systems of the world, it becomes active in the world of human beings. Richard Branson on some spaceship somewhere out there right now, it's like that's the utilization of the systems of knowledge that he was able to name, et cetera, and put it to work. Yeah, it includes business systems, political systems, science systems, economic systems. Hey, let's go. That's what you got to do. It takes all those things to do that type of, or to achieve those types of accomplishments. All right. Systems of knowledge become active in the world of human beings. And that's one example of the result. And it's the same for every other thing that we look at and we applaud. They just went through this process for that category. So what category are you working on? What category are you trying to max out? Do you know the khalaqa, sawa, qadara? And hada, of course, is the last, right? Then the way that you know, one of the ways that you know, and one of the things to look forward to in that whole process is the ability to create and restore with what you have discovered. Quran, hold on to this. I know you're holding on to the whole Quran, but let me mention this particularly in this connection. 34:49. I'm reminded always to give the name for the surah, 34, Surah Saba. That's very fun. All of mine, but Surah Saba, 34:49, right? And it says, an expression of it is, faith, the truth has arrived, and falsehood neither creates anything nor restores anything, all right? This is Allah telling you, he's giving us the knowledge of the power of truth by telling us what falsehood is not. What is it? Falsehood neither creates nor restores. Okay, truth has arrived and falsehood neither creates nor restores. Okay, and therefore, what does truth do? Truth creates and restores. Truth creates and restores. Falsehood doesn't. So you know when you got it right. You know when you got it right, when you can take what you have discovered, come to understand, name, labeled, et cetera. Now, create something with what you have discovered. Create something with what you have discovered. So restore something that with what you have discovered. Because if you have the truth, then you can do both of those things with the truth that you've been to by the grace of Allah. You can create and you can restore. But this is the process. Khalaqa, sawa, qadara, hada, in accordance with the truth and reality as intended by Allah. Because if all of those, if your intention, inside or intention is a very big thing in this whole process. But as long as your intention are aligned with Allah's will, remember, searching with taqwa, sacred intuition, you're doing that, then inshallah, you were guided to that discovery itself. Even the labeling is a part of Allah's guidance, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so doing that, then you'll be in good shape. All right. So that's going to be it for this morning. I'll give an opportunity. Blog Talk will give you a chance. Anybody online who would like to ask any question, make a comment before we close out. Otherwise, that's going to be it this morning. Let me see. All right. Facebook, I'm looking at the screen right now at this moment, but it will only last as long as this is. All right. So I take it everybody's, alhamdulillah, it is what it is, huh? I can't say it. I've got the big decisions. God's peace be on you. MashaAllah. Anybody wants to reach me, hit me at Sabilillah, Sabilillah at AOL.com. Blog Talk, I'm still there. Did you? Monterey Bay, you went out. You have a comment? I don't know if you can get back in now. In any case, I can always be reached at Sabilillah@AOL.com. And inshallah, if I can get to you, I will. All right, let me see. All right, that's going to be it. Everybody have a wonderful day. God's peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.